Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Dr. Ray Guarendi right now, psychiatrist and Catholic author, speaker. The guy makes my side hurt from laughing. Anyway, I asked him how I can be a better dad. We fit that into like 10-ish minutes, and I probably need like 10-ish hours. Anyway, like, comment, share, get this phone call out to as many people as possible. You won't regret it. Thanks for listening.
Press 1 to sponsor a call. Thank you for your support. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hey, John, Deacon Mark, Executive Director at Iowa Catholic Radio. Love the partnership with you and your podcast. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of it. As Iowa Catholic Radio continues to do the work of evangelization and connecting people to Jesus Christ and his church, I can think of no one better to partner with. And so if you have any questions or if anybody wants to learn more about how they can get involved with Iowa Catholic Radio, which is a listener-supported radio network that serves not just Iowans and not just Catholics, but those beyond the borders of Iowa and those who are maybe not yet Catholic or have fallen away from the faith, they can find us at iowacatholicradio.com. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
You think you're going to carry me in this conversation?
You're getting to be a load.
You think those muscles are big enough to carry this guy now? You still lifting?
Hey, well, let me put you this way. I had triple bypass.
What?
And I am back in the weight room at full strength.
You're kidding me.
Nah.
I did not know that. What happened?
Oh, build up of 20 years. I was diagnosed 20 years ago, held it off. They said it was genetic, so I threatened to sue my mother, but the attorney said the statute of limitations had probably run out. So I gave her a warning.
Are you okay now?
Again. Hey, full strength, man.
You're back in the weight room.
Been there for 3 months, 4 months, yeah.
In your day, how old are you?
73.
and you're pumping iron. Back in the day, what are you putting up? What are you benching?
Right now, I had to cut back, so I can do the dumbbells, the 80-pound dumbbells in each hand, 18
pounds.
Times.
I'm at 65 pounds in each hand.
And I can't. 30 years younger than I am.
I'm 30 years younger. I'm 40 years old. What are you trying to do?
I used to use hundreds and tens.
My goodness gracious. I love it, man. Hey, will you, during this conversation, teach me to be a better father?
I'll talk to the Lord. I mean, he created the universe to make you a better father. He goes, I don't know about that one.
I like it. Well, I mean, I'm going to try here. All right. So here's what I want. I want all fathers listening up and parents just in general. All right. To this conversation. And you know what? A lot of people don't even have these conversations anymore. So I'm glad to have it, especially over the phone. Best piece of parenting advice that you repeat over and over again.
Best piece of parenting advice for fathers, especially.
Yeah.
If you're going to have high standards and your kid looks around, sees the culture doing it one way and you doing it another, and the kid says, how can all those people be wrong and you be right? What you do as a father, whether it comes natural or you have to fake it, show one boatload of affection, hugs, kisses, I love you. That goes so, so far in making a kid realize you're not doing this just to be tyrant parent of the decade.
You said that a lot. I mean, I've read in your books, affection, but also discipline and affection and discipline. And it's just like it's the back and forth with you. I almost feel like it's a secret sauce. You say, this is it right here.
Here's the key. If you have authority as a parent, I'm talking about strong, confident, calm, not screaming, authority. You don't discipline very often because the kids know they're not stupid. They know you're going to do what you said. They know you're going to enforce the fact that you do not allow disrespect in your home, and you're going to put consequences on. If they know that, your discipline plummets. The problem is people think they discipline constantly because they're not disciplining. They're arguing. They're negotiating. They're yelling. They're screaming. They're reminding. They're threatening. None of that is discipline. That's the illusion of discipline. And it makes you feel like you go to confession. Bless me, Father. Before I had children, I was pretty nice. Now I'm not pretty or nice. And I just want to know, is it really, really wrong to think about shooting your kid with a bazooka?
But discipline is mean, right? I don't want to be mean, Dr. Ray.
That's it. That is the key. You put your finger right on it, John.
Right.
People think discipline is mean. You can be mean when you discipline, but discipline itself may feel mean, but it is not mean. It is love at your hands so the kid doesn't get pounded by the world when he goes out there, because the world doesn't care about being mean. After you send that kid to the corner, or you make him write a 500-word apology essay, or you make him do extra chores, you love him. The world's not going to love him. The world's going to say, hey, kid, you're fired. Hey, kid, get out of here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, discipline is ultimately extremely kind because you're playing the long game.
Is this through experience for you? Because you have how many kids?
10.
10 kids. I mean, is a lot of your work through experience, or did you kind of come into it, study it first, and then kind of put it into play in your life?
If you pay attention, John, you can learn an awful lot over being a psychologist for 45 years.
Yeah, I bet you can.
My experience has come from hundreds and thousands of parents, families, marriages, etc.
Yeah.
My own children, yeah, I've got some cutesy examples that I use to sell books, but... given that, you know, my kids are all grown now, John, and this is something we might want to touch on in a future meeting. Some of them are going to serve a church, and some of them probably going to serve time. You know what I mean? They all got different temperaments.
Yeah. Billboard for every Catholic parent to see. What would it say?
Stand strong.
Really?
The culture is no longer on your side.
I like
that. You cannot parent in fear. You cannot say, if I don't let my kid have a smartphone at 12, she'll hate my guts. If I make her go to church, she'll puke up religion when she's 19. She'll get deceptive. She'll hate me. You cannot parent in fear. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, is this something you're seeing a lot? Like people just parenting in fear? Like what happens if I do this or
absolutely.
Like this? Really?
Absolutely. Instead of saying, I'm the parent, I have to make this judgment based upon my morals and my beliefs in God, and this is my judgment. No. It's, what if I'm wrong? What if I set in motion a whole bunch of psychological ill effects that's going to blow up in my face, and this kid will be on Springer Jr. for the next 12 years?
How do you read my mind on some of these things?
Well, because you're the before picture on my parenting book.
I really think I am. And you know what? I was like thinking about this the other day, and I was like, does any parent think they're doing this right? Like, does any parent like sit back and think with their 12, 10, and 5-year-old like I have, like, yeah, I'm crushing it as a parent? I don't know.
Well, this never happened, John. What we don't realize is that this is a unique phenomenon with the onslaught of the experts.
Yeah.
They're everywhere telling you what you're risking if you make a bad judgment or if you do something that ultimately doesn't work out. Well, obviously you weren't psychologically savvy enough. This is nuts, John. I was reading over your questions.
Yeah.
And one of the things you said, what have I learned the last 10 years? I have become more and more convinced. And I use this big bucket term, the experts, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the social workers, the child development people, the counselors, they have done an absolute number on parents.
Hmm.
My Italian grandfather, you probably had Italian grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Couple.
My Italian grandfather had a 6th grade education. When he raised my dad, he had to make the judgments that he thought were best for his home. He didn't agonize over what if I'm doing it wrong. He didn't do that. He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't a jackbooted thug that said, hey, my way or the highway, punk. He was a loving father, but he wasn't tormented by second guessing This is a relatively new phenomenon, and I'm more convinced than ever it's gotten really worse.
So something you've changed your mind on over the last 40 plus years.
You make decisions on the basis of what you wish to teach your children in the context of your religious worldview. Keep in mind, the culture doesn't have a religious worldview. So you're going to be different. It's automatic. You're going to be different. You recognize that. And you say, and here's one thing I've often said for myself, John. I've said, if my kids go astray, I want to be able to say they had to go through me, not because I stepped aside.
That's good. That's really good. Kind of hits me right in the gut. Hits every parent in the gut, I think, right? I mean, time is like, I don't know. My big thing anymore is I'm just like, how can I spend as much time, right? You gotta, you know, provide for the family, all of that. But how do I just spend as much time immersed in their world, but not, you know, in a sense, kind of bringing them to the to our world with the faith as well? Because their world's very different. It's tough, like just spending time with this 12-year-old and 10-year-old and 5-year-old that, you know, and sometimes you just feel like I don't have a lot in common with them, except for the faith and the Cubs.
Well, your wife wouldn't say that. Your That's wife right. would say you're about a maturity level of 10-year-old. So she'd say you can probably pretty relate.
I can get on their there. Level pretty well, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. Our culture basically has said for the last, I'd say 40, 50 years, men, i.e. fathers too, are unnecessary. We're buffoons. We're toxic. We are not needed because the women can do it all. The women are stronger. The women are faster. The women can get better education. The women can be skilled in every other aspect of existence, corporate, everything. Dads, you just kind of try to contribute a little bit, but we really don't need you. And the research is overwhelming that the presence of an involved dad is probably the single biggest factor in keeping a kid on the straight and narrow as he grows older.
Really?
Absolutely. Go take a survey of the guys in prison, the serious offenders, and find out how many of them had an ever-present loving father in their home. I don't, no doubt it was a 1 or 2%, if that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I love your work, man. I mean, you know this, I can't like listen to you on stage without getting this severe side ache afterwards because of laughing, but your work is just good. It's real. It's raw. You know, it hits you right, you know, in the heart. And I love it, man. Besides pumping iron, before we let you go, how else are you spending your time these days? What are you working on?
I just finished a book on anxiety, John.
I'll take that one. I'm Italian. It's right in my blood.
It's pretty pervasive out there.
Pretty good.
That's book number 20. Jeez. So they're all on the website, drray.com. They're signed and they're discounted. So if anybody's interested, what else am I doing? I'm semi-retired. And here's what I did.
What?
Well, here's what I mean. I used to nod every 2 minutes in therapy and say, uh-huh. Well, now I nod every 4 minutes and say, uh-huh. So that's kind of semi-retired.
You've lengthened the uh-huhs. I like it.
Yeah, pretty much.
How can we pray for you?
Oh, for my kids. All my kids are grown now, and I sure would love them to either reconnect with the Lord or stay faithful.
I'll say Hail Mary for them when I get off the phone.
But make sure you're holy. I don't want no prayers that negate other people's prayers, John. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to do my best. Thanks for taking my call, Doc. You're a good man.
Hey, anytime.
We'll talk soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.